Well, hello and welcome live from Microsoft headquarters here in the Bellevue, Redmond, Seattle-ish area. We are we'll be presenting a querying Microsoft SQL Server 2012 class with you today. Thank you very much for taking time to join us. We want some interaction for you to be able to kind of give us some feedback. So as you're viewing the presentation throughout the next several hours, to the right of your screen, there's a chat interface in there. Feel comfortable replying or sending in some comments to there or some chats in there. We've got tons of SMEs, subject matter experts, behind the scenes working with us. And myself, which is Brian Alderman, myself, as I'll be presenting, we will also be monitoring the chats as well here from the studio. And the cool thing is, if you type in a really good question, it'll be sent up to us, and we'll take that question live and get that answer to you. The good news is you're not going to listen to me all day alone. I also have joining me in the studio, Tobias. How you doing?
Not too bad, Brian. Feels good to be here.
It's good to see you. Thanks for joining us today. What we're going to talk about, I want to make sure everyone understands what you've gotten yourself into. This is more of a level 300 class, and we're trying to meet the audience that's trying to learn the technical skills required for some of the advanced Transact SQL queries within SQL Server. So you should have a basic understanding, at least, of relational databases, understanding the use of the SSMS or the SQL Server Management Studio, because we're going to be spending a lot of time in there, and then a basic knowledge of some of the Microsoft Windows operating system and some of its core functionality. Let's take a look at what we're going to discuss throughout the day here, or evening, depending where you're dialed in from. We're going to begin with just an introduction to SQL Server 2012. We got a couple modules, just kind of leveling the playing field to make sure everyone understands what it is that we're going to address throughout the day and some of the terms and concepts that we'll be addressing or using throughout the day. We'll then move into the second module, where we'll start looking at some of the advanced select statements, things like the distinct clause, the cases, the joins, the merges, filtering and sorting data, and how do we deal with those pesky null values. We'll move into data types, because as you know, when we build out new objects in SQL Server, it's very important for us to understand the appropriate data type and apply that data type. So we'll talk about that, the conversion of data types, and actually introduce some SQL Server functions. We'll then move into grouping and aggregating data, and in that area, we'll talk about group by and having clauses. We'll talk about subqueries. We'll talk about different views, inline tables, valued functions, and derived tables. So some of the more advanced topics, we're talking about grouping and aggregating data. We'll then break for lunch. We're posting up there roughly 60 minutes. It may be 45, it may be 60, it may be 2 hours. No, it won't be 2 hours, I promise. But we'll be a roughly 60-minute lunch hour, depending on what time we are, where we are in the curriculum as we go through today's event. We'll then move in after lunch, or roughly somewhere throughout the day. We're going to talk about set operators. Set operators, we're going to include Windows functions, grouping sets using pivot and cubes and rollups. We'll introduce those topics and talk about those for you. We'll talk about modifying data, because it's not all about retrieving data. We need to know how to properly insert, update, and delete content. And we'll look at the use of constraints, default constraints, triggers, to make sure that when we're adding data, we're kind of enforcing data integrity by setting up different default constraints and triggers. We'll look at programming with TSQL, Transact SQL. We'll look at some of the programming elements, some error handling, and understanding and implementing transactions within your programming environment. And then we'll wrap up today's class with retrieving SQL Server metadata and improving SQL Server query performance. So we'll look at things like system catalogs, dynamic management views, or DMVs. We'll talk about creating and executing stored procedures, and then an overall understanding of ways that we can improve the SQL Server performance, specifically when we're querying. So that's what we're going to take a look at. We're going to begin, like I said, with an introduction to Microsoft SQL Server. Again, feel comfortable using that chat to the right. If you have any great questions for us, feel free to chat into us so we can get any answers, any questions answered for you, as we have a plethora, I love using that word, a plethora of SMEs behind the scenes working with us, and Tobias and I will also take some live questions as they come into us. So let's go ahead and begin with an introduction to Microsoft SQL Server, and this is going to be module one, and again, kind of like just kind of laying the foundation and understanding or kind of leveling the playing field for people. We're just going to talk a little bit about some of the different types of commands and statement elements that we have out there. and then look at a couple basic select statements where we can actually go in and talk to these the basic select statements that you might perform. So three types of commands that you can find out there. We have DML, or data manipulation language, and with this class being querying SQL Server, the primary focus is going to be on DML, specifically the select statement. But we are, as we talked about, we are going to talk about the insert, the update, and delete commands, which falls in that data manipulation language category of statements. We're also going to talk about DDLs, how we create objects, whether it be a database or a table or a stored procedure. And after we create it, we may need to modify that. We'll talk about ways to alter that. And eventually, we may have a reason to drop that. Now, my goal is to change that drop command to the toast command. So I'm trying to get Microsoft to change that from drop to toast. I'm going to be working with Tobias on trying to get that toast command in there instead of the drop command. Is there any way we can get that done by the end of the class?
No.
No. Okay. I'll keep working on that. I'm not going to say take no as an answer yet. So if you all are in favor of having a toast command instead of a drop command, please let us know about that. And I think we'll see. Maybe if we get enough heat on the development team here in SQL, we can get a toast command added for the next version.
I've been trying to tell Brian about this ANSI standard thing we have going in, you know, trying to stay close to standards. And apparently they just haven't. Yeah. You know, come to.
But I think you could be setting up new ground for people. Maybe everyone would change to the toast command from the drop command. It's a cool command. We're going to use toast a lot today. Unfortunately, I have to type in drop. But when I type in drop, I'm thinking toast when I'm typing that in.
No.
But there's not a toast command. All right. We're also going to talk about data control statements. Those are where we control access to the different objects within the SQL Server databases. So those are DCL commands. We'll touch on those as well. So three different categories of commands that we're using: DML, DDL, and DCL. Now, we have some SQL language elements that we're going to be using. We're going to drill into a little bit more detail. I'm going to introduce them and then let Tobias kind of just talk a little bit more about these. But we have what are called predicates and operators that we use when we're writing TSQL commands, different functions that we can call. We may want to reuse something like a stored procedure, so we may want to pass variables. We have different expressions that we will be able to use, ways to have a batch job that we can supply separators in for that. We want to maybe control the flow so we can use things like an if-else statement. And then, of course, we want to comment because we're always good about commenting content. So we want to make sure we can add comments. We're going to show you how we can add comments to this content. So I'm going to ask Tobias to kind of walk us through some of these elements that we can use when we're working with TSQL.
Thank you, Brian. Sure. So what you're seeing there is kind of the standard things you would imagine in any programming language, right? Where we have predicates that includes the common operators, the common comparison operators, including like, which is a special string kind of operator. We have three logical operators in not, and or. And we'll dig into how you use all of these as we go through the class. And I think one thing that's interesting for us to kind of focus on is what's best practices, right? What should you, how should you use the language? What should you think about? And what may you want to avoid for various reasons? It's all very context sensitive, right? So using the right thing at the right moment is clearly going to help you.
All right, so those are the predicates. Now, also we have functions. You'll see we have three categories of functions. We have string functions, something like if you want to extract a portion of a string, or we want to look at the length of a string. We have date and time functions. We want to go out, grab the system date. We want to maybe check and add a certain time frame to a date. And then we have aggregate functions. We want the average sale for a particular salesperson or the total sales for a particular salesperson. Those fall under the aggregate function. So we can use these functions. And again, we'll see these as we go out throughout today's presentation. And we'll see these actually in use. Now, the idea of using variables is very powerful because this gives us the opportunity to reuse items like stored procedures that we created and be able to pass different variables or different values with these variables. So we'll see how we can declare a variable, very straightforward. And we can also now not only declare it, but we can also initialize it at the same time, beginning with SQL Server 2008, in fact. So we'll talk about the use of variables and how powerful they can be to make it a little bit more flexible and dynamic, for instance, stored procedure, if we're trying to use that. We have some expressions here, like we're doing a select a year, the order date plus one. We have select order quantity times unit price. So we can get very creative with our select statements. We don't have to just do select asterisk from a table name and walk away. We can actually go in and get creative and kind of customize that result set. And we're going to look at some of the opportunities we have for the customization of that result set by using some of these expressions that we have available to us. And the use of batch jobs are really powerful because this allows us to be able to go in there and script content, and then we can schedule that content to run at a particular time. And if we have multiple statements, we may often have to separate them. We most often do that with the Go statement. Now, Go is not a specific to a SQL Server TSQL command. It just allows us to go out there and separate the different batch jobs or commands we have within a batch job.
And it's important to know here with Go that it's just something that the tool sees, such as SQL Server Management Studio. It sees Go and it knows that whatever was before Go, I'll send separately, wait for a response from the server, and then I'll send the rest, right? And do this between the Go. So SQL Server itself, like Brian mentioned, doesn't really know what Go is. It's different tools where you may use different batch separators, but all our tools default to Go as the batch separator.
Some other elements we could use are control of flow. We talked about this briefly, if, else, the while, begin, end. Error handling, we're going to look at some ways to catch errors and how we're going to be able to respond to those errors. We'll look at those later on today. And we'll spend some time talking about transactions, how to define a transaction within a batch, for instance, using a begin transaction, committing that transaction, and potentially having to roll back that transaction. You're going to want to document, especially if you start getting into batch jobs, you're going to want to document what's going on in there. This gives you the opportunity to use what's called a block of commented code. This allows you to set up comments. As you can see, we have a forward slash asterisk. Anything I say after that is a comment until I get the asterisk forward slash again. That closes that block of comments out. If you want just a line of comments, we can use the dash dash, and then you'll just that line will not be executed. So if you're working on troubleshooting a particular script and there's certain code you don't want to run temporarily, you can kind of comment that out using the block of commented code or these two dashes, and that'll ignore that temporarily. Or if you just want to document what you're doing in there, you know, as the batch job is running, you can actually add some comments to that documentation or as documentation to that script or that batch job. Now, the idea of actually executing a query is pretty, if you understand, you got the select, you have the from, you have the possibly the where, maybe the group by, maybe the order by. Often we look at the way it's written and we think that's the way it's actually executed. What we want to show you here is the logical order of the query being processed. So the first thing that's going to happen is we're going to jump out to the from. We're going to find out to make sure.
So Brian, just why sure. Why do I care? Why is it important with the logical query processing?
Because you want to make sure that you understand when you're writing this information, if you're troubleshooting and trying to optimize it, if you understand the order that these options or these statements are being executed, it might give you the opportunity to optimize that and make it run a little bit faster.
Yeah, that's good. And it's also important to know the logical query order because it helps you understand exactly what needs to go on under the surface, right, under the covers. So if you don't know exactly how the query language is structured, right, then you may end up not getting the results you want. So it's not it doesn't mean that whatever you type is exactly what we are going to go right. do, because we have this fancy query optimizer that figures out the right way, the best way to give you the results. But it does mean that we are constrained so that we will always logically execute in this order. So it's super important to understand the logical query processing.
So it actually begins with the from statement, and then it goes to the where clause. I'm just going to bring these up. You'll see as they're numbered here. Group by, having, and then it goes to the select. Oddly enough, the first thing that we write is the select, but that really isn't addressed or until, we're going to call it step five. And if there's an order by, that's executed last. So, you know, it's good to understand that order, that processing order, so you when you're writing your queries or if you're trying to optimize your queries, you can see where that information is coming from.
And we'll get into some more details on logical query processing later, because there are some other elements to the language that are in addition to what we're showing on this slide.
So this is applying the logical order of operations here. we've got this statement here, so let's start from the top. Use AdventureWorks. We identify what database that we want to use, and so I always begin a statement with the use, so I make sure I'm in the appropriate database. Then we'll add the from, and this is actually sales.salesorder header, where customer ID equals a certain number, group by salesperson, and then we'll have to grab the year off the order date, having account greater than one, and then we execute the select person. We're not going to write the statement this way, but again, this is how a statement that we have written will be processed by SQL Server. And finally wrap up with the order by.
Yes. So one thing I just wanted to mention on use is we have two big products out there with regards to SQL. Right? One is SQL Server 2012, which is our on-premise product. And then we have Windows Azure SQL Database, which is our cloud offering in Azure. And the use statement itself is not supported in SQL Database because of what we sell is something different from SQL Server. We sell databases rather than instances. So that's important to know. If you want to create software that runs nicely on both of the platforms, you should not use the use statement within your program. You very often use it in SQL Server for debugging or for testing your scripts, right? But within your software, your app that you write, you may want to avoid using use. The other thing that's interesting here is if you're interested in it working on both our Azure platform as well as on our on-premise platform, you should look at trying on both. And if you develop against Windows Azure SQL DB, you'll be able to run on SQL Server as well.
Are you suggesting they should test their code before they deploy it?
No.
Really?
No,
okay, because I didn't know we were supposed to do that. So, All right, let's take a look at some basic select statements again. Some of you that are more advanced, you're familiar with this, but we just want to make sure everyone's on the same page here. So we have a select, we supply the select list, the from, the where, the group by, the order by. We're going to see plenty of these. Here's what we're looking at, retrieving column from a group. We can actually do select customer ID, store ID, from the sales.customer. So we're identifying the table, the object, and the schema for that object. So this is about as basic as you can get. Well, you get a little bit more basic. Instead of identifying the columns, you could swap out the column names and put an asterisk in there. That's the most basic select statement you can write. Select asterisk from table name. We're actually taking it up a notch.
We can make it easier.
Even easier than that?
Yeah, select space one.
Select space one.
That's probably the easiest you can go.
Okay. Well, okay, so try that if you want the easiest statement so you can actually go out and brag that you've actually submitted and executed a select statement. What is it? Select space one.
And it sounds like trivial and stupid, and why would you ever do that, right? But it's actually interesting when you want to do performance tuning, if you're interested in what is the performance of just speaking to SQL Server, like network, all of these things, rather than going into what actually happens in the database engine, select one is a perfect thing to test.
Awesome, definitely. Select one. All right, using calculations. So as you can see here, we've select unit price order quantity, and then we're performing a calculation unit price times order quantity, and we're going to grab this from the sales order detail table. So we can actually use this, and we have different calculations. Right now we're doing a multiplication here, but we're going to do an addition, we can do division, we do percentages. So we have these different calculations, scalar calculations that are available to us. We can also do a concatenate, we can concatenate content. Again, we're going to see some samples of these. We're just kind of introducing some of the topics that we're going to go through here. All right, let's take a look at some basic statements here. So I'll come out of the PowerPoint slide and jump into an image here. Gonna go into SQL Management Studio, and again, we've got AdventureWorks, we're already using AdventureWorks. So we can do a select again.
One.
I'm gonna do that one first, just so everyone sees that this works. And the cool thing, if you're not familiar with this, you can highlight this and then just execute it. And you get no column name, but you get the one return. So as you've said, Tobias, we've gone out, we've communicated with SQL Server, we've got a response. So we know that things are working, we're able to communicate. Now you can also take it up a notch and go select asterisk from, we'll say sales. And the cool thing with the IntelliSense, because I couldn't remember exactly what I wanted to go to, we could go to sales order table, order header, and then we can, again, we'll highlight that and execute just that command. And now it gives us a bunch of information here. Probably too much, because now I've got every row and I really didn't want every row of them, or every column, excuse me. I wanted just a few items about the rows in here. So we can change this again to do a select We'll grab sales order ID. Let's actually do sales. We'll do it spelled all the way. And we'll grab one more. We'll grab due date just so we stay with it here. Due date. And then we'll specify here from the sales.salesOrder header. And I'm gonna double click here, save a few keystrokes. So we'll again highlight that and execute that.
As sales.
I'm sorry?
You'd have to say as sales. You can try.
I didn't hear what you said, sorry.
You have to specify the table alias since you added that you're using sales dot.
Oh, as sales, gotcha.
Since you added that.
From sales dot, sales dot due date, sales dot order header, as sales. Yeah. Didn't really want to do that this early, but we'll do it anyways. There we go, we'll execute that there. So now we've set up different, so we've got our sales order ID and our due date set there. All right, so then we've added that. Now we can add, we're seeing all the rows. Let's see if we can control the number of rows being returned. How do we do that? We do that with a where clause. So we're gonna do it again, I'm gonna reuse this. What am I gonna do here? I'm gonna go up and I'm just gonna throw a where in here where we'll say sales order ID is equal or less than or equal to, we'll say 45,000. Let's do 44. So now we're limiting the number of rows. We limited the number of columns. Now we're limiting the number of rows. And now you see that if we jump over to messages real quick, you'll see that we have 342 rows. Now if we ran this without the where clause, as we did before, and go to messages, we had 31,465 rows. So the where clause really helps reduce the number of rows that are being returned to you, and is very powerful with managing that type of content. So we can also, just throw one more variation here. We can also do the order by. So we'll order by, we'll go with sales order ID.
You like the sales order ID.
Yeah, it's easy. I like working with numbers better, I think. That's what it is. So we're going to do that. We're going to execute that. And now it orders it or it sorts it by order ID. All right. So just a few basic select statements that kind of get your feet wet regarding performing select statements inside of SQL Server. And try to get you, comfortable with the idea we can use, we're going to be spending time in SSMS, and that we can highlight whatever we want to execute and we can build on our commands as we're entering these commands in. All right, back into PowerPoint here. Where did I do my slides here? Over here? I thought it already opened somewhere. Here it is. All right, so that's just a quick demo on writing basic select statements. Just to review, we introduced the three different types of commands, DMLs, DCLs, DDLs. We'll be working with these throughout the day. We talked about different elements like predicates and operators, functions, variables, commenting, control of flow. Again, we're going to drill into this in more detail. We looked at the different elements and how they are processed. We began with the from, the where, the group by, the having, the select, and then the order by. That's the order that they're actually processed when you're executing a select statement. So that's going to just wrap up the very first section where we're going to come in and we're going to do information or provide information on the basic elements of what we're doing with SQL Server.